I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague and friend of many years, Thaddeus McCotter, American greatness, former member of Congress from the great state of Michigan. We're looking at the politics of the moment as we approach a midterm election that has an historical metric. The party in the White House coming to the first midterm after the election, generally speaking, meets disappointment in terms of the House of Representatives and also the Senate, but chiefly the House. The vote goes the way for the other party, sort of a balancing act. Historically, that is accurate, but it is not predictive. It's just a trend. So I mention, for the Republicans to lose seats in this midterm would not be anything but ordinary trends after a presidential election. That being said, I begin with the price of gasoline. I have a chart in front of me of the states of the United States. It appears that New England and the West are leading in terms of the price of a gallon of gasoline. Leading is a misleading word. There the price is. California is well over five, and New England is around four. Pennsylvania is very hot, four and to five higher. So these are states that will very much be influenced, very much carry the weight of the midterm election. Pennsylvania is a purple state, a swing state, goes back and forth, has for the last several cycles. That is a very good day to you. The price of gasoline, we can connect it eventually to the fighting in the Middle East, but it just looks like a burden on the American taxpayer, a burden on the American working class, especially people who are living on paychecks, see that price of gasoline not only at the pump, but in the price of food and the price of all things that people shop at for Costco. Is that something in your experience that is significant to members of Congress as they campaign? Do they need to have a response for people complaining about gasoline prices going up again? Good day to you, Thaddeus.
Good day to you, John. Well, it's an indicator and a symbol, and politically it's a very charged issue, and the Democrats are grabbing on it, seizing upon it as they should, to attack Republicans. I've seen billboards driving down I-94 that talked about this is the price of gas before Trump's war. This is the price of gas after Trump's war. You also see signs that talk about your electricity bills. Now, regarding the electricity bills, there were the Democrats in Michigan when they had the majority and the governorship. They still do have the governorship. They passed laws that would make more green our energy infrastructure, and everybody warned them that that was going to lead to higher energy prices. So the Democrats not only are using the high gas prices as a symbol of the failure of the administration to address inflation overall and affordability issues, are also laying some of the blame falsely upon this administration for things that they themselves have done. It's very crafty, and right now it seems to be working very well. It's going to be very difficult for Republicans to address affordability issues. And I think them going home, the earlier they go home, I think is a bad sign, because they're not going to be able to say that they're in Washington actually doing anything. So to a certain extent, when you do things that you, if you leave early, you're basically sending up a signal that we're done for now, and we've done everything we can, and now it's time to go defend what we've done. If you haven't done much, there's not much to defend, and there's not much to articulate. So to a certain extent, right now, the Republicans are really stuck, because the price of gas, the number one symbol of affordability issues, is not likely to come down anytime soon. And so it becomes very difficult for them in the swing seats to make an argument that 2 years ago we elected President Trump. We sent the Republicans into a majority to deal with the inflationary and fiscal mess left by the Democrats, and it either has not gotten better or it's gotten worse. And so how do you convince voters, especially independent voters, that a change is not necessary, when the last change they tried clearly has not, to their mind, worked?
Tariffs. That was a very big story in 2025. It has not been top of the pile recently because of the war fighting and the war restart and the conflicts, but tariffs are there. The Trump administration is now using tariff language directed at Canada, oddly, using a never-before-invoked caveat of the Smoot-Hawley Act of the Great Depression of the
1930s. Yeah, one of the key spurs of the Great Depression. Yeah.
Yes. So Smoot-Hawley is in the news. We get to say that it was passed by Congress and signed by Hoover thinking it was going to protect Americans. What it did was it started an international trade war that took what was instability and doubt in Europe and turned it into a catastrophe. The beggar thy nation was first before armies cross borders. So the old saying, when goods don't cross borders, armies do. That's the old saying. Well, that happened in the 1930s after Smoot-Hawley. There were other mistakes made. For example, the Federal Reserve Bank at the time thought the problem was too much money, so they raised rates, which is exactly the wrong direction when you have doubts about your economy. But Smoot-Hawley was then and is now a shorthand of saying, they pretty much did the wrong thing in the Hoover administration, and it looks like the Trump administration doesn't mind being associated with Smoot-Hawley with this one little detail about tariffs on alcoholic beverages from Canada sold to the U.S. That's what it's about. And it's not a federal tax in Canada. It's a state-by-state tax, as I understand it. It's wine.
Province.
Thank you. Province. Correct. It's a province tax. But the suggestion is that the U.S. needs to tame Canada. Now, aside from that, the headlines in the financial...
How's that work in 1812, John?
It doesn't work, but I...
Taming Canada, yes.
Smoot-Hawley is not something you want to explain when you're running for election. Trump prepares fresh tariff barrage with 10% levies set to expire. U.S. president to renew trade war after Supreme Court threw out reciprocal duties. In other words, we're going to start all over again, but it's nowhere near as easy for the president to wake up and say, 50% here, 20% there, we've got a deal here. This new invocation requires hearings, lengthy conversations, public meetings, a lot of investigation. It's not immediate. It's a trend. I mentioned that is because tariffs were a large story in 25. Do you see the voters or the members of Congress bringing them up again in the campaign? It's not easy to translate them.
I think with tariffs, most Americans measure them by the results. If prices go up on things, I don't like the tariffs. If prices go down and more jobs return to the United States, then I like them. And then to a certain extent, they're an abstraction. You just got to measure them by concrete results. When you look at the way that the tariffs are employed in many ways by this administration, it becomes almost a default response for how to punish individuals that you don't like them, but you don't like what they do. So that when we look at Canada, Detroit being one of the most hard hit areas due to the quality and the air pollution caused by the wildfires, we were very, very hard hit. You would walk outside and it felt like you were living in a bonfire. So I can say that there was very great animus in this area regarding how Canada handled it. And we believe it was a failure of proper forestry management, a failure to have tools such as water dropping planes and other firefighting equipment on hand to deal with this. But that does not necessarily mean that. So that the Trump administration felt that they had to address this for places like Detroit, places like Chicago, places like Minneapolis, St. Paul, New York City, other places, Buffalo, that were hit by the smoke from the wildfires in Canada. So to appease them, they will talk about using the tariffs. They will use them in a not merely a retaliatory fashion, but a punitive fashion. And I don't think that's what they were intended to do. And I don't think that they were intended to that they will have great effect in dealing with that. These were issues that should have been handled in a different way rather than through tariffs. And to a certain extent, that those who believe tariffs are necessary to help defend the United States against unfair trade practices, which is what their purpose should be, find that this actually weakens the support for them and weakens the argument when they're applied to things that are better handled or actually should be handled other ways.
That is McCotter, American Greatness in the great state of Michigan, commenting on the domestic stories, whether price of gasoline, the price of real estate, the price of food, or the international domestic stories, tariffs. We're going to turn to the politics of the moment, the president's presentation about an election past. last week, raises questions that don't have easy answers. I'm John Batchelor.